Let them trust in thee who know thy name, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This Sunday of Septuagesima begins what we may say is the pre-Lent session of the liturgical year. It is something of the first of the last calls that are announced before Ash Wednesday. It is the time when we should be giving thought as to what will be our observance, what will be our penance during the season of Lent, and not waiting until the Thursday and Friday after Ash Wednesday to give that consideration. This time is a bit of a transition as well. It is the time, as we said, before Lent. It is to also prepare us for Lent, to dispose us for Lent itself. It's this time when, in certain religious orders, there is the physical burying of a slip of paper that has the word Alleluia written on it, because no more will the Alleluia be said in the liturgy until Holy Saturday. That's why, for example, also in the Mass, the Gloria is not said on these Sundays or on the Feria days of Lent. It is this transition. All of these things are a figure of the transition of the soul from the Christmas joys that we are soon to conclude with February 2nd to the stern penance of Lent. The joys of the adoring the babe in the manger to our Lord's harsh penance in the desert. Today in the Divine Office, the scripture readings from the Office of Matins are those of the book of Genesis, when we read the account of how God created everything out of nothing, and the sequence of those things that are created. And at first glance, it may seem odd. Why those readings at this point? Would not it have been better to put them at the beginning of Advent, at the start of the liturgical year? The reason for that historically is that Septuagesima was, once upon a time, the beginning of the liturgical year, not Advent. Advent came later. But yet, at the same time, it is still well adapted to this period of transition that we are now engaged in. These readings from the book of Genesis help to set the stage, so to speak. And the church therefore begins to recapitulate, to unfold why there must be a season of Lent. In other words, these few Sundays before Lent begins, the church goes through, we may see, a Reader's Digest explanation as to why there is the season of Lent, why there must be a season of Lent. Lent is a reminder of how all things started to go bad in the Garden of Paradise. The accounts of creation that we read in the book of Genesis starting today is meant to remind us that the same creation that we read about and we see all around us can, and in fact does, communicate to us something of the Creator. That is why the church will teach that even a pagan can come to the knowledge of the existence of God, a Creator, by simply observing the natural order of creation. But that's as far as it will go. That is not to say it is a supernatural knowledge of God, which is required for salvation. And the same creation that we read about, how God calls it into existence, first light, and all the way through the creation of man, this same creation has disorder and chaos introduced to it by the sin of Adam. The quality of paradise that we refer to in the Garden of Eden changes to the quality of wilderness, because the paradise within Adam, that is, his soul in the state of grace, was made into a wilderness by his sin. A sign of that disorder, it is the common teaching that even the animals of creation became wild and threatening to Adam after sin, whereas they were not so before. And this is a figure of the passions of man, the passions of Adam, how they turned on him like wild animals following his sin. And that is also why all of creation is made to rise up in opposition to Adam as a result of his sin. God himself places the curse on the earth, that it's only by the sweat of his brow that he will earn his bread. And he has to work hard now because there's going to be wild things growing that he has to cultivate amongst. There's going to be thorns and thistles. Anyone who's ever picked blackberries will know the sting of one little thorn from that bush. But before that all takes place, before that chaos comes and infects creation, the first step of that creation is calling into being light. That is the first element that God calls to existence. Let there be light. And we may wonder why, of all things, why light? What was there to shine upon? Nothing, as of yet. Light is first because God himself is light. And this light became visible for us at the incarnation and the subsequent birth of our Lord. As we read at the end of Mass in the last Gospel, it was the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world. And how our Lord himself, God incarnate, says, I am the light of the world. Not I have, not I participate in, but I am the light of the world. And so we focus now at this time before Lent, knowing the setting of things, why there must be a Lent, and how the Church will expose all of that and unfold that to us in these coming Sundays. But this season that's coming is a call from God to our souls. And he calls us into his light. He calls us to himself. And we cannot, in that final analysis, escape from light. We can shut the door of our souls. We can try that. But light illuminates our darkness and condemns us for trying to shut that door. That is why the most pitiable soul is not one who refuses the light, but one who denies that they need the light. Psalm 138 says, Whither may I go from thy spirit? Or wherever may I flee from thy face? Darkness itself shall not be dark to thee, and night shall be light as the day. God calls us now to himself, calls us to his light, and he wants to communicate that to our souls. He goes, as it were, chasing after us when we flee from it. And he arranges everything in his providence so to dispose us to receive it, although he will not force it upon us. And so we see this creation of light in the beginning, and how darkness enters through sin. That's why, for example, when someone receives the sacrament of baptism, they are given that little candle by the priest. It is a sign that they are meant to keep this light of God, this light of Christ, in their soul, so that even though there may be terrible darkness around you on the outside, there is still this burning light within of God giving himself to that soul. And unfortunately, how many of us can claim that we have kept that light intact, that the flame has continued to burn since our baptism? Or have we not, in one manner or another, traded that light for the darkness of sin? And God calls us to himself in order to be renewed in his light, to be restored to that light that was lost by sin, and as a result, to re-establish paradise in the soul. For what was it to be in the Garden of Paradise for Adam and Eve? It was to be in this state of friendship with God. It was not the idea simply that they had all manner of good things to eat, although that was true. To be in the state of friendship with this such a close intimacy with God. Sacred Scripture says that Adam walked with God in the garden. And we see the opposite when, after sin, Adam tries to hide from God. He tries to put himself in the dark where light would not find him. Part of this process that involves the restoration of this light to us does involve a certain purging of sin from the soul. And so we have this time of Lent, this time of penance that is coming. But instead of just dropping it upon us, there is this preparation, this time of making things ready. Everyone who does evil hates the light, says our Lord. And so this restoration, this banishment of the darkness, requires necessarily the invasion of light. It requires this infusion of light. And so we read in the gradual of today's Mass, "Let them trust in thee who know thee." And who is he? How do we know him? His name is Light. He is the light of the world. And our task is not to arrange the light ourselves, but rather to have trust and confidence in his restoration of that light. "For thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee, O Lord," says the gradual. And so it is time for us now, in this season before Lent, it is time for us to see, to open our eyes of the soul, to open them to his light, looking for it and going towards it, where he calls us to, not to flee from it. And God will not forsake you if you go towards the light, which is himself. Before the advent of GPS and tracking systems for ships at sea, sailors had to be very adept at reading the stars in order to navigate their course. But sometimes it was difficult when there were clouds. How can you navigate by stars when the stars are not visible? And sometimes they would go astray. Sometimes they would get lost. But once they had their star restored, they could recalibrate and get back on track. And perhaps that's the state of some of us today. Perhaps we're lost, or we question, are we lost? Or we're not sure if we're on the right path, or we're not on the right course. Perhaps we've deviated. And we're trying to get to that light, that's our port. But we're not sure if our course is going to lead us there right now. And so God in His mercy gives us a star to recalibrate. He gives us His mother, the one we refer to as the star of the sea, the Stella Maris. So if you find yourself now, before this time of Lent, not sure, lost, perhaps uncertain if you're even close or near that light, look to the star. Look to the one who will be the surest guide to that port of light itself. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.